December, reunion of the Hiram and June Smith descendants in Salt Lake City in the Miller Ward Control Hall. December
about Hiram Smith.
Bye. off the ground, put them up on drop them up like this, to make a roll so they could draw a little bit before they're picked up with a big fork later on, put on wagons and cars into the barn, and wait for the chicken machine to come around from the neighboring farms and through the picnic. And here's the binder machine, which cuts the game right out of twine. It didn't matter, because that, and I told April knew what to do. They grew up where they didn't have binding machines. They just grabbed a handful of oats and wrapped it around, tied a little knot in it, and that held the bundle of oats together. Not this big around, 2 feet wide, 3 inches thick. I used to help bring it in. And they had a great time living in the old days, like on the internet. Dad was a strong, physically strong man, and very mentally alert and intelligent man. A lot of things to think of, but in his skin, as you can't say a lot. I like to see. Let them talk themselves. There was a time when I went to the Humphrey Idaho, and we were there on a Sunday, and this about that we might speak silently, so I recorded it. I had a thing to see and recorded that. There's another thing that he didn't say in his talk, but he said that he and a family even liked it. But at the Marvel's house some years ago, he said to the grandchildren around, to the family, if you remember only one thing about your grandfather, remember that he loved the church. Does anybody remember that? He said that more than once to our group. And you'll get that idea too, I guess, or hope that from this recording.
The following talk was given by Hiram Smith, son of Jesse Nathaniel and Emma Larson Smith, in July 16, 1961, at the sacrament meeting of the Jamestown Ward near Shelley, Idaho.
My brothers and sisters, I appreciate the opportunity of meeting with you in this sacrament service this Sabbath evening. This is one of the meetings of the many meetings which we hold in our church that is commanded of the Lord by direct revelation. And truly it is the meeting of all our meetings that we have an obligation to attend. I've been impressed this evening with the quiet, dignified, and reverent manner in which the young men have administered the sacrament and passed it to the members. It has been very fitting and truly, but it is as it should be. It shows that these boys have been instructed and taught about the sacredness and importance of this holy ordinance. We do need reminding often of our duties and our obligations to our Heavenly Father. And we're missing an opportunity that we should embrace when we fail to attend our sacrament meeting and partake of these emblems and reflect upon the great sacrifice that was made by Jesus our Redeemer, that all mankind might be saved, might be raised from the grave unto eternal and everlasting life. They will but listen and obey to the principles of life and salvation. We are all impressed of late with the great missionary movement which the church is engaging in, and our young men in the wards, as soon as they are 19 years of age, if they are qualified to go out and represent the church as missionaries, they are given the God opportunity. It is a wonderful privilege and blessing to them. It is also a great duty and obligation which rests upon our church. And we all have a part of that responsibility of giving the gospel to the nations of the earth. And the vigor and importance which is being attached to it now of late impresses us further with the fact we are nearing the time when there should be a people prepared for the second coming of the Savior upon the earth. And the scriptures say that he will not come until the nations of the earth have heard of the gospel, have had an opportunity to receive and obey the principles of life and salvation. But there is a spirit among the people, the world, to listen more carefully than they have in the past, to be a little more concerned about their spiritual welfare and well-being. Our missionaries are so busy meeting people who have made requests and calling on people for whom they have had referrals that they can no longer spend an evening with an individual. They gather them together in cottage meetings of members. One or two elders will instruct a couple of dozen at a time and meet them again a few times, explaining, of course, the plan of life and salvation. And then, if they're not sufficiently interested, the missionaries are instructed not to bother with them any farther. They've had an opportunity. There are so many people who haven't yet had the opportunity and who must have it, that the missionaries don't wait and spend a lot of time, weeks and months, in an attempt to convert the individual who will first hear them. So the time is drawing near. We have a young man in our ward in Salt Lake City, just recently returned from the North British Mission, where they had a great many converts for a missionary. He was telling us in his report that it's impossible for the missionaries in that mission where he was to fulfill all the requests that were made. So the mission president instructs them to do it by groups. And every mission is asking, calling for additional help. So we all have a great responsibility in helping to prepare our young men to go on themselves when they're a proper age. And 19 now is considered a suitable age. There are many advantages in that. Young men learn the foreign languages more easy. They learn the procedures, the new methods of presenting the gospel readily. They're not handicapped by wrong habits and methods and old prejudices which they may have had. That sort of people are not so pliable, not so teachable. Yet we all, young and old, do have another responsibility. As President McKay so forcibly and fittingly told us in the last General Conference, every member of the church is a missionary and has a responsibility to properly represent this church before the world. Of just one or two. display, more or less, before non-members of the church. That they are conscious and mindful of what we say and do, of what our church and our religion does for us. If we are better citizens of the land in which we live, if we appreciate more our citizenship in this great land of America, our freedom and liberty and opportunity, and we should be the best citizens in this great land, because we have had revealed to us more of the purpose of man's life upon the earth, and more of the type of individual men and women should be who represent us in a public way. We should be the best citizens of this free world. And I think there's a rule, by and large, our people are model citizens of this great country. And if we're not in any way, let us have a look at ourselves. Look in the mirror and inquire what manner of man or woman you are. You're living to become. Show your appreciation by wonderful works. I read a little comment about the great teacher Socrates that I liked, and I think we can gain a lesson from it. He was far ahead of his time, and it was misunderstood. He was a great teacher of the youth. His Socratic method was a prominent method used by the school teachers today. He helped young people to understand and realize the world about them by asking them leading questions. And he was accused by the civic authorities of the city of Athens of leading astray the youth of the land. They arrested him and threw him into prison. He only smiled, and they said to him, "Why are you smiling? You should be preparing yourself for death, for you are condemned to death and will have to drink a cup of hemlock, the poison of which they executed those condemned to die." And Socrates only smiled, but said, "I've been preparing all my life to die. Why should I start now?" "Well, what do you mean, you've been preparing to die?" He said, "I have never, in all my life, openly or secretly, done a wrong to any man." Isn't that wonderful? Can we say as much? Say as well? We have many times the life and opportunities that Socrates had, that he believed in that eternity, that he would live again, though he was condemned to die. That faith supported him. But he did live a wonderful life. And as he said, never secretly or openly had he done a wrong to any man. So he could truthfully say that all his life he had been preparing to die. It's a lesson for us. Brothers and sisters, you have much to be grateful for, particularly the young people who are here in such fine numbers tonight.
bitter to being born in this great land of freedom and liberty. And in this great and last dispensation of the gospel, when the gospel is nearing its completeness and its fullness, never again to be taken from view, it is your privilege to grow up, to take part in these wonderful things, and to help to prepare the people for the coming of the Savior from the earth. He will come to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let us be proud and grateful for our membership in this great church. Let us be faithful to every call, to service in the church, to help one another, to help our brothers and sisters who have not yet received the gospel, that they may come and with us share its wonderful blessings. May our Heavenly Father bless you in your righteous endeavors. May we all be able to serve our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth to the end of our days. Our lives then will be fruitful and happy and joyous, and we'll be assured of the reward in the eternities which are before us. This is my prayer and desire for you all. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
The following is a talk given by Hiram Smith at the missionary farewell of his grandson, Charles Bushman Clark, June 25th, 1961.
And as you see, the adults on the earth here in the church, turn on your magic boom. It is then that